Hello and welcome to Counsel from Above, your place to ask a counselor questions you wish he would answer from God's Word. I am your host, Nathan Honeycutt, licensed professional counselor, minister of the Church of Christ, excited about our time together. Hey, let's talk about topics for those that have a little white on the roof. Hey, do you have any questions you'd like for me to answer? Hey, send them to me. You can get them to me at counselfromabove@gmail.com. You can also jump on our Facebook group. That is Counsel from Above podcast. We oftentimes offer questions and opportunities, topics, things that you might have of interest. Jump on, get a part of it, and provide us those answers and those questions that you might have. Always looking for more engagement and opportunities. So please shoot them out. Let us know. You can also find us on Instagram, and you can find us there at Counsel from Above. Find us, send us me a message. I'll be glad to do my best to answer those questions along the way. Hey, let's jump on in it. We are talking about the topic of questions for those that have a little white on the roof. I had a person shoot me a message not long ago, and they thought that I was maybe spending less time talking about those who have a little age on them. And so they said, well, what about those that have a little white on the roof? And I thought, you know what? That's a good topic for us. So I shot it out on our Facebook group, and sure enough, I got some interest. I got a bunch of questions. Matter of fact, I got enough to cover a couple of different topics or a couple of different sessions. So, hey, let's get to it today. We've got the first one coming from Cindy on our Facebook group. She says, I am experiencing being cast off by my children like I'm the trash. Sadly, that keeps me from seeing my deceased daughter's son. So now I've lost my daughter to death and my other daughter and grandboy to estrangement that has not been explained to me. 2 years of that. Besides the prayer, what other avenues are there? Cindy, that's a wonderful question because I know that it is goes against tradition or goes against what you want. It goes against the things that you would expect to see as life goes on. And as you get older, the anticipation is that you get to spend time with your grandchildren and be able to move forward in your connection with them. I'm told by my parents and many others, if they would have known how great grandkids were, they'd have had them first. And so because that seems to be the case, there's no doubt that being separated and not having that connection to your grandson is without a doubt a very challenging aspect. So thinking of a couple of things that you've entered here and you've kind of presented, your main question is, what do you do besides prayer, that other avenues that might be available? You know, I think about the importance of being ready for when the time comes to be ready. You know, I have no idea why this estrangement has taken place. You haven't gone into that, and I respect that. You know, for some that I have spoke with, the estrangement has sometimes to do with where the family is or where the person is, for in this case, daughter and family. It may have to do with where they are in their life at the present moment. They may not be in a rational state, or maybe they're not in a state of listening or a state in which they're in a good place to gain a connection. Sometimes I've seen estrangement take place because there is false or bad choices or unhealthy choices that have been made. And because of those unhealthy choices, the consequence of that choice is that family members are creating their distance and separation to be able to avoid those poor things. And I have no idea what this might be about. And so, Cindy, I may be completely off base. You may have a whole different realm or reason or thinking that could be the case related to this particular estrangement. But I think no matter what the reason for the estrangement might be, you still come down to the same, I think, answer. And that is, you can only control where you are and whether or not you're available and capable of being in a relationship and connection with them if and when they become ready. There is no doubt prayer is an important aspect of all Christian lives, and the aspect that we think about so often is our connection to God and being able to provide to Him our thoughts, cares, concerns, worries, and on the list goes. I also think that in this case, we have to be in a place capable and ready for their approach. I think about the prodigal son. And as that son came back, he found a father ready for his return. His father, you'll remember in that particular parable, ran to his son, watching down the road, seeing him afar off. His father was very well prepared for his son's return at any moment that it might be. And the instant that happened and the instant that took place, you have that engagement that happened instantly, even before the son reached to the house or reached to the home. There was this connection that was being made and brought to them. So in the reality, I think that you have to be like the prodigal son's father. You have to be in a place where you're ready at any moment in time for their presence, for their return, for their desire to engage. And that may be things that maybe need to be changed within your world, in which you have to be looking at some certain things. Maybe you're in the right place and they're in a poor place, so therefore you're wanting to present a better reason for it being in a better place, and it may encourage them to do that themselves. And so whatever the case may be, there is two sides to it. You can't force another side to make a decision. You can't somehow guilt them or manipulate them. Because if you do that, it's based on false premises. It's based on false information. And so if there is a connection and if that is brought back together, you want it to be based upon a honest and real and healthy framework and basis. Oftentimes when it comes to estrangement and separation, there's a manipulative pull. There is a manipulative desire, you know, faking reasons to talk or coming up with different things because we are trying to force an issue or force a connection. And in reality, it becomes more about being ready when the time is ready. And when it is time to be ready, having all of your ducks and positioning in a row so that you're ready to have that conversation, have that connection. There is always an important part in our world to say, God, help me to be ready. Help me to manage the things that need to be managed, or fix the things that need to be fixed, or let go of the things that need to be let go of. And that is absolutely, prayer is a great source to be able to gain God's assistance to that. I'm also mindful of Chris McCurley's statement whenever he did his last podcast with me. He made this very clear statement, and I think it's true, that many people are great at collecting the trash but have a hard time taking it out. And it may be that you have family who has gathered trash, gathered decisions, gathered choices, and they're having a hard time letting go of it. And it sometimes takes time and sometimes never happens. But whatever the case may be, we have to manage our choices and our choices to be ready whenever they're ready. Cindy, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. Question number two also comes from the Facebook group. This comes from Joyce. She says, sometimes it is hard to accept the physical limitations of getting older. For example, 30 years ago, climbing up and down a ladder for me was a piece of cake. Nowadays, it requires more caution. Accepting our limits without feeling resentment is hard sometimes. How do we graciously accept the physical aspects of getting older? And what advice could we give friends our age with similar issues without sounding trite or offensive? Joyce, amen. Hey, I'm giving you kudos. You've said what we have all wanted to say, and that is getting old stinks. And one of the biggest stinks to getting old is your body can't keep up with your brain anymore. And that is so true with our lives. We get older, our bodies slow down, but our brains still think we're 20s again. Our brain doesn't always understand that our body is getting older and moving. I'm finding even at 46 right now that my brain does not move any faster, or my body doesn't move fast as my brain does. And I am no doubt that as we all get older in age, it doesn't get any better. And that's kind of the way life is, isn't it? Unfortunately, our physical body doesn't get better with age. It gets worse. Your question is an outstanding question. How do we learn to accept our limits? And that is kind of the million-dollar question. Acceptance is a choice. Acceptance is a connection with reality. The more that I connect with what's real, the more I stay within the limits or within the aspect that is given. Now, here's the reality. We've been doing this for years. Think of aspects in your life in which you accepted the limits that you had. For instance, when you were a teenager, when you were young, did your first car, was it a Lamborghini? Was the first thing that you ever bought the most expensive version of whatever that was? Of course not. Couldn't afford it. Probably even today, there's things that you wish you had that you can't afford. You can't do that. You can't have that. I would love to be a pilot, own my own plane, be able to fly wherever I want, have a hunting cabin in Colorado and a fishing cabin in Louisiana, and then another fishing place in Canada. Now, that would be wonderful. Man, done. But I don't make enough money. I'm limited. I have to accept the fact that I can't do that. We do that with our money, don't we? We accept the fact that we can't buy the best of everything, or that we can't have the best car or the best clothes, or we accept that we have limitations. We accept the fact that our money can go only so far. My wife and I have often talked about wanting one day to be able to go to the grocery store and just buy something because we wanted to try it. You know, when you got two teenage boys that eat everything in the house, they go through money and food like nobody's business. Well, we can't buy these, you know, seven different exotic cheeses to try them out. You can't go through and buy all these fancy things because you're limited. Can't afford it. And though we don't like it, though we may wish we didn't, but we've accepted it. We've learned to be able to do the best we can with what we have. Many of us, and Joyce, I have zero doubt you are the same, that you're highly blessed and have many things, though you aren't the richest person in the world. Maybe you're not. I don't have, you know, billions and billions of dollars to spend on whatever frivolous thing that you want. But you do well. You learn to take what you got and do the best with it. To learn to be content. Learn to appreciate what you've been able to spend money on and what you still have money that can be spent. I'm wondering if that attitude isn't the same attitude to have with our bodies getting older. We learn to find things that we can do well. We learn to accept the things that do move correctly and that are healthy and do well. And we learn to appreciate that and get the most out of what we have. My wife, I'll tell you, she can make the bark on a tree squeal, man. She can pinch a penny like nobody's business. Well, why is that? It's because we've learned to live within our means, learned to live with what you have. And you and I can learn the same with our age. How do we help other people that are friends, that are of similar age and have similar issues? Well, I think one of the biggest things is we begin to learn to appreciate what we have and be thankful that we have what we have. Oftentimes we do get to the grass is always greener mentality. Oftentimes we get to a point to where we have a hard time looking and appreciating what we have because somebody or something is something better. But yet we can come to a point where we can look at one another, we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm getting the best out of what I have. I remember a gentleman that talked to my dad one time, and I think I've mentioned him on the podcast before, the fact that one day his wife had passed away, couldn't ride horses anymore. He was kind of stuck in a house in a chair and couldn't get out a whole lot. And my dad went and visited him one day, and he says, I don't know what my life is anymore. Can't ride my horse. My wife ain't here. You know, sometimes I think we get so focused on what's not there that we lose appreciation for what is. He lived a number of years after that, built a number of relationships, was able to study the gospel with many people after that conversation with my dad. You know, maybe all of us are that way. Maybe it's about us accepting our physical limitations, but also appreciating what we do still have the ability to do. Joyce, I appreciate the fact that you indicated that, you know, 30 years ago you could climb a ladder better. Now you still do it. You just do it a little more cautiously. Well, sometimes we have to be thankful we can climb that ladder. We have to be thankful because ultimately it's about accepting and giving the best out of what we have to the Lord. You know, our being is still around. And as long as we're breathing, we still have a responsibility to give God our best, whatever that might look like. God knows our body's slowing down. God knows that our limits are there. He understands that, accepts that, and he presents to all of us. He says, look, just give me your best. Revelation 2:10 very clearly says, be thou faithful even to the point of death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He wants every ounce of everything that we have, and that's where we get our acceptance, our contentment, our willingness to say, here is my life, this is the best I've got, and giving it always to him. All right, third and final one, white on the roof. Question number 3 comes from Karen Honeycutt. As a senior citizen, it's hard to know if the younger generation really wants to visit you. Should we reach out to them? I love to encourage them and want to let them know they are important to me. Sometimes I feel like I'm just bothering them. You know, I think it's always interesting to watch the different generations interact with one another. I'm mindful of my sons, and when their grandmother, great-grandmother, both of them were coming towards the end of their life, both of them would ask their mom to be taken to the nursing home. And they would ask to engage, and they would ask to connect, and they wanted to go there. A matter of fact, even my oldest son, for a period of time, had a gentleman in the nursing home that he would go and spend hours with talking and conversing about electronics and just kind of life in general and finding those ways to connect. You know, I think that the answer, I think, to the question is about finding the things that you can connect with. Finding the things that you have in common that you can have a conversation with. I know that as a father, even as a child, my dad and I had a lot of things that were kind of in common. We had a lot of things that were similar. And so my dad and I connected on a lot of different things, sports, fishing, hunting, and all those different things. Mom, on the other hand, I didn't have as many things in common with my mom. But there were things that I remember even to this day that my mom would take a moment and she would come and she would, you know, we would go to the movies or we would go out to eat or we would go for a walk. And some of those moments were some of the most important moments of my life because there was a moment of connection. And in finding those with whatever the generation is, no matter who the individual is, no matter what generation they may be in, it's about finding what is it that interests them. Some of the groups, some of the kids today, that's really hard to do because maybe some of them are invested or engaged in things that maybe aren't as interesting to you. Or maybe they're things that are maybe limiting. But there's something. There's something that you can connect with. There's something that you can be able to hold tight to. And finding out what that is. you know, reaching out to them is a wonderful way to say, hey, let's talk about this, or let's connect with this, or let's do that. What is it you're finding interest? Tell me more about this. Tell me more about that. I'm mindful of one of the girls that we had at the ranch, and she was really having a hard time, and I was trying to figure out a way to talk with her and converse with her. And so during the conversation, she started talking about K-pop. And I'm like, what in the world is that? And so I look at her really funny, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she says, well, K-pop. And I'm, well, what is that? She says, Korean pop music. And I'm like, there's a such thing as that? What is that? And so it was from that moment and from that time that that was the conversation. I went and listened to it. I went and found certain groups and listened to the music and heard the lyrics and listened to the things and spent time trying to gain an understanding of what exactly that was, so that the next time she had a struggle or the next time I was around her, I could ask, hey, I heard this song. What do you think about this song? And there becomes that connection. There becomes that ability to link together for other conversations, for more meaningful things. But you've got to find the item that fits in that younger generation. You're going to find some of the younger generation that are searching for things that they connect with you. You will find, oftentimes, you will find kids that are trying to find things that connect with you because you're an important part of their world. And so it sometimes is about introducing you to them. I know that my father-in-law, he has this little machine that creates an electric current. And it was something that he would always connect with his grandkids about, is he'd get them in a connection and they would hold on to these wires and he could wind it up and it would create a little shock in them and they would do all these different... Well, he brought something from his world, something from his generation forward. And all the times they would come in, my boys would come in, Grandpa, let's get the little electric shocky thing out. And that became the way that they connected. They had on this wall this bear that when you pulled on the string, the bear would move. Well, these kids would come in, I want to talk to the bear. I want to talk to the bear. And so he'd pick them up and they would, oh, how are you today? You know, and would these things that would connect. And that's how you're able to build that relationship, that connection, is find the thing you can connect with. What can you both find that allows you that moment of conversation? And the more that you search for that, the more that you look for that, the more you're going to find, the more you're going to be able to connect with because you have that. And that's where those conversations can come. That's where that connection can be. So yes, reach out, find the things that are connecting, find the things that they like, find the things that they want to talk about, and study and learn and grow and understand, so that you can be able to have then that conversation and be able to say, have them say, man, my grandma or my mom or grandma, whoever this or mom, man, they really know this about me, or they really know a lot about blank. And that's where you start building those connections, building those relationships, and ultimately have that union that you are looking for and searching for. Hey, thanks so much for the questions. Thanks for listening to the show. Hey, do me a favor. If you are watching this or listening to this on whatever platform it might be listening to it, hey, follow, like, share, subscribe. I don't care. Whatever your place that you're getting this finds it, push the button. I got to have some more people find out about me. And so please push the button, let people know, give them the information, because we want to continue to spread God's word, answer questions, consider us, how do we draw closer together? And to all of us, we want to be leaning closer to God, learning more about Him, drawing on what He wants from our life, because it's all about living our lives in such a way that we find faithfulness to Him, because He is providing us each and every day how to draw closer to Him through His counsel from above.